Here they come. Turn four. Final lap.
Rev up your engines and get ready for the racing weekend.
Here they come. Checkered flag.
It's Chasing Checkers with your host, Chase McCabe, on Nashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
Harvick, running second. A big shove coming from the middle. Daniel Suarez in the 99. He gets turned into the four, and they go into the wall. The next flag will end the race.
Five, cross it out.
And there's the caution flag. Ryan Blaney wins. The big accident happens behind him.
Yeah, boys. Way to get it done.
How about that? That multiple win thing's kind of working out for you these days, isn't it?
Yeah, how about that? That was a lot of fun. And, gosh, we just barely missed that wreck. And we got a lineup on the front row and got a good push by the seven. And, you never know how the end of these things is going to play out. You know, down the back, you don't know what lane's getting a bigger run. And I guess, someone got tangled up over there. Hopefully everyone's okay. But, man, it's so cool. Second win of the year with body armor on the car. Winning Daytona. This is so cool. With everybody here, thank you guys for coming. It's really special. And, man, it's been a fun 2 weeks.
And there you go. That's how it sounded on NBC. Marty Snyder doing that interview with Ryan Blaney there. Welcome into Chasing Checkers, presented by Hillside Medical here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. I am Chase McCabe. We're here every Saturday at 9 talking racing. And the playoffs are here. That is going to be the theme of today's show. We're going to do a full rundown of the playoff field and do a playoff preview as they get ready for the opening race of the playoffs, the Southern 500 at the Darlington Raceway, coming up tomorrow night. So a Labor Day tradition, but they will kick off the playoffs with that historic race. Daytona, as you heard the end there, wild and crazy. It always is. And, I'll be honest with you, it kind of looked like for a while that you're going to have somebody get up there and win and play spoiler, knock out a car like a Kevin Harvick or a Tyler Reddick that got in on points, did not win a race. I know Denny Hamlin didn't either, but he's a little bit different, a little further up in the standings. But Chris Buescher was in position to potentially win. I mean, Corey LaJoy was there. Bubba Wallace was there. So there were a lot of opportunities potentially for somebody to play spoiler and get up there and win this race. But ultimately, it is Ryan Blaney going back-to-back, having a ton of momentum on his side going into the playoffs as he gets his third win of the season, and that vaults him into second for the playoff seeding. So he is now the 2 seed going into these playoffs. So the rundown for you. Now, Chris Buescher did finish second, but he failed post-race inspection, so he was disqualified. So by virtue of that, Bubba Wallace gets a second-place finish. Ryan Newman would be third. Ryan Preece would be fourth. Tyler Reddick would be fifth, and that was with a ton of damage. Justin Haley, Alex Bowman, Chase Elliott, BJ McLeod, Josh Balicki, Eric Jones, Kurt Busch, Denny Hamlin, Eric Almirola, Kevin Harvick, Corey LaJoy, Austin Dillon, Ross Chastain. As you can see, some different names up there, but that is Daytona. And you heard from Ryan Blaney there with Marty Snyder, but now that he's won 2 in a row and he has 3 wins on the season total, he's going into the playoffs with a ton of momentum. He was asked how much that changes his perspective as the playoffs get ready to start.
It's nice to build momentum. I mean, that's for sure. We run that Atlanta race in March, and it's been a long time, since we won, last week, and obviously this week too. So, it's just good momentum. It's good for confidence, not only myself confidence, but everyone on the team, their confidence and things like that is just huge. You can really have good momentum, and that's what, momentum is a huge thing in sports, especially, and what we do, and confidence is big in not only motorsports, but sports and life, really. If you have confidence in yourself that you can achieve something and know what your goal is and go out there and do the best you can and achieve it, that really helps you out. So, that part's been really neat. It's great that we've, kind of really got a lot of playoff points here, because that's something that's eluded me in my previous playoff runs, is don't have a lot of playoff points when it comes to start of the, you know, the end of the year. So it's been really cool to capitalize on all this stuff, and it's what you need. That's for sure. So I, you know, we're going to celebrate tonight, and, but Monday morning, I mean, it's on to Darlington, and, you know, we have 10 really hard weeks ahead of us, and we have to really do our jobs and concentrate. And I look forward to that challenge.
You know, I'll say this, Ryan Blaney is, you know, in all the he's kind of in the same generation. It was Chase Elliott. You could throw William Byron in there. I mean, this new generation of driver, but he's been around for a few years, obviously. He's starting to come into his own. He's won multiple races this year now, and I think he's in a very good position with Team Penske to go compete for this championship. I mean, I know that people might not think that, you know, they're going to be there, but they always seem to be. I mean, Keselowski finished second last year. Logano won it a few years ago. I mean, they're always there and turn it on in these last 10 races. And you kind of look at Team Penske as it goes through this change. Keselowski's leaving at the end of the season. He's going to Roush because he has an owner-driver role, and that new opportunity that he'll be able to have. And so Joey Logano, yes, he's been there longer, and he's the veteran. And I think he's certainly, you know, got leadership skills for sure. But then you look at somebody like Ryan Blaney. Does Ryan Blaney become kind of one of the top go-to guys at Team Penske? His crew chief, who is retiring into the year at the end of the year, Todd Gordon, was asked that very question.
Yeah, I think Team Penske is in a great position. I think Ryan is growing into being a, you know, a championship contender. I think we've got that ability in front of us in the next 10 races. I can't wait to get going on it. Look forward to taking this momentum we have into the Southern 500. And I think, you know, I've gotten to work with both Ryan and Joey, and I think both of them are great people and very good for the sport. So I look for Team Penske to have a lot of influence, you know, in the Ford camp and leadership from that standpoint for both of them. And, you know, we've got Austin Cindric coming on up and into Cup next year in the two car. And, you know, I've talked a fair amount with Austin. I look for, you know, I think he's got a great work ethic, and he's a thinker. And so I look for this organization and these three teams to continue to push the package forward and have a lot of impact on our sport.
I think you're going to see some pretty big things from Blaney, and I think he's certainly a factor in these playoffs. I mean, you got to think about this, that Kyle Larson wins the regular season championship. He's going in with a ton of momentum. He has by far been the best driver all year. He's won 5 races, but he's been in contention for a bunch more. I mean, he could easily be at, you know, 8, 9, or 10 wins on the year for sure. But the way this playoff is set up, the format, it doesn't mean the best guy always wins. I mean, we saw last year you had Harvick win 9 races, Hamlin win 7 races. Neither one of them was the champion. Chase Elliott was. And Chase Elliott had a fine year, and especially in the playoffs, he turned it on, went to a different level. I mean, I can think of a few years ago, you had the Big Three, and then Big Three and the me was Joey Logano. He won the championship. So it's not a foregone conclusion that anything like that, that Kyle Larson is actually going to win it, and he knows that, and he discuss how important every point is going to be.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like we've kind of had that mindset the last month or so already. You know, it's not been all about just winning. Once, you know, points kind of came into the picture of us being able to beat the 11, you know, just kind of points racing against him. And I think getting into that mindset and that kind of style that it takes to not be so go for broke, which is, I feel like, a lot of what you need. You obviously have to have that go for broke somewhere in your arsenal. But yeah, I think a lot of it, you know, you can't make any big mistakes really and take yourself out of it. So that's what we've been doing here this last month and a half or so. And I feel like that's been good to prep us leading in the playoffs.
Now, I'm certainly thinking that he's going to be a factor. I think everybody feels like he is going to be a factor. But, you know, Martin Truex Jr. sits in third. I don't see it. I just think they've lost a ton of momentum. A lot of what they had was earlier in the year We'll see. Kyle Busch can never rule him out. I think Chase Elliott gets back in the mix. He turns it on. Bowman, I think, has had a solid year, but I don't necessarily look at him as a true championship contender right now. Denny Hamlin, I do. I still think Denny Hamlin is going to find victory lane at some point here in the near future. And then you got guys like Byron, Logano, Keselowski, Kurt Busch that you got to throw in as wild cards. Bell, McDowell, Almirola, Reddick, Harvick. I mean, it's a stacked playoff field with a lot of winners. Only three drivers in this field have not found victory lane this year. Reddick, Harvick, and Hamlin. And two of those guys, like I said, 1-1-9 races, 1-1-7 last year. Just shows you how much can change from year to year. So one of the playoff drivers, as playoff media days was the other day. And again, we're going to go through the full field here in just a little bit and kind of get you set up for that. But William Byron joined me and Darren McFarland on our show, Darren, Donick, and Chase, which airs weekdays from 10 to 2 here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. He joined us earlier this week for a chat, and here's that conversation.
William, how you doing? Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, good. Thanks for having me.
Where are you currently right now?
Oh, I'm actually doing media day from my apartment. So
you're back in, you're in Charlotte?
Yes. Yeah, okay. Back in Charlotte.
Are you guys getting any remnants of Ida yet? Are you getting any rain? A lot of rain here in Nashville.
No, not really. I think tomorrow it's supposed to rain for most of the day.
Okay. All right. Now that we got all the weather stuff out of the way, let's talk a little racing. Let's talk about Nashville. It was good to have a Cup Series race here, or a Cup race in our market again for the first time since 1984. You had a nice showing here at the Nashville Super Speedway, finishing third in the race. Overall, what did you make of the race here at the Nashville Super Speedway?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked Nashville. It's a really tough racetrack. Kind of like a short track because of how much you have to slow down in the corners and accelerate onto the straightaway. So I really liked it for that aspect and thought that it fit my style and everything. So yeah, it was a good race. Like you said, it was a good race for us, and excited for some of the short tracks coming up in the playoffs.
You know, you guys, obviously it was a tough year for everybody last year in all sports, not having fans, and you know, you just haven't had the experience that you've gone through early on in your career with packed houses, but that was not the case here in Nashville. How nice of a pleasant surprise was it to see the crowd that showed up to cheer you guys on?
Oh, yeah, it was great. The crowd in Nashville was really excited for the race, and you could tell there was a lot of energy around that event. So really cool that we were able to race there again, first time in a long time. So it was awesome to get back to Nashville Super Speedway, and hopefully we can do more events in Nashville. You know, obviously IndyCar had the road race and street race there, and hopefully we can do some races in the future.
Yeah, no doubt about it. That is the plan, hopefully. You're no stranger to this playoff format. You understand how this works. You've been in it the last couple of years. So how different is it? Because we always talk about this in all sports, right? It's like the regular season is like, you know, one season, and then the playoffs are like a whole new season, right? And so what is it like for a driver once you get into this format trying to win a championship?
Yeah, they are different. You know, I feel like it takes on a mind of its own and is really kind of its own season within the season. So 10 weeks is a long time, and I feel like, you know, you've just got to take it race by race and really try to try to focus on each week and get the most out of your race car that you can during that week. So for us, you know, it's focus on Darlington, try to do a good job there. I feel like we ran well there in the past. We've run the last two times there, we finished in the top five. So we just have to keep up what we've been doing there and continue to progress.
What did you learn, William, over the last couple of years going through that experience? Because I think, you know, the more experience you get in that second season, you know, the better off you are. You learn each step of the way. So what did you learn the last couple of years going through it that maybe you can use to apply for this go-around?
Yeah, I think honestly just try to eliminate the bad races, try to eliminate the big losses in points and the big mishaps or errors. So for me, I mean, that's really been the reason I haven't advanced in any time. It's not really been the good performances not being good enough. It's really just been the bad ones being too low. So trying to eliminate those bad races, keep ourselves in contention to be able to have a shot at the end. And that's all we can really do. So that's the biggest thing, is try to keep it going.
We're talking to William Byron, the driver of the number 24 Hendrick Chevy in the NASCAR Cup Series. You worked with Rudy Fugel in the truck series when you were coming up, but now he's your Cup crew chief. You guys got the win at Homestead earlier in the year. What has it been like working with him again as you now enter your first playoff together?
Yeah, it's been awesome. I think we've really worked well together. We've kind of picked up where we left off in the past year. So I think it's been good. I think we've learned a lot over the course of the whole season just to prepare ourselves for the playoffs and what to expect. So, yeah, honestly, I think those lessons and things we've learned are gonna pay off here soon. So I'm looking forward to it and looking forward to, you know, his first playoffs and what we can do together.
You worked with Chad Knaus for the last couple of years too. We know what his resume looks like with all those years with Jimmy, but now he's moved into a different role at Hendrick Motorsports. How has that helped elevate all four of you? Because we've seen you know, all four Hendrick cars do a lot of winning this year.
Yeah, it has. I mean, I feel like, you know, the four of us have been ultra competitive throughout the whole year. So really hasn't changed, you know, and I feel like we've just been able to build off the momentum that we've had throughout the season. So we're bringing really fast race cars, and Chad's a big credit for that, because I feel like he's done a good job of keeping us prepared and keeping everybody on the same page and making sure we're putting the best race car out there.
Next week, you're going to be able to test the next gen car at Daytona as I believe it's an 8-team test. What are you expecting, or can you really expect anything with the unknown?
I've sat in the race car a couple times. I feel like it seems really similar to the current car in terms of my seating position and stuff. So not too many worries there. Probably the biggest thing will just be getting adapted and getting used to the car as I get there. So looking forward to it. I think there's definitely some new elements, the way it's going to feel coming off pit road and some of those things like that. But I'm looking forward to it. I feel like it's going to be a good test.
And that is William Byron, the driver of the number 24 Hendrick Chevy, who joined us on Darren Donick and Chase earlier this week. So appreciate that. When we come back, we begin the full field rundown of the playoffs, the playoff preview. We're going to do that next on Chasing Checkers. That is presented by Hillside Medical here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. Welcome back into Chasing Checkers here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. It's all presented by Hillside Medical. And a reminder, if you miss any of our shows, you have several options in which to find those. The easiest of that is subscribing to the podcast. All you have to do is search for Chasing Checkers. We are on iTunes, Spotify, Google, Amazon, wherever you get your podcasts. Just search for Chasing Checkers. Make sure that you're following us on all the social media channels as well. Chasing Checkers Radio on both Facebook and Instagram, and at Chasen_Checkers on Twitter. Chase McCabe here with you on a Saturday morning, which is when we're always on here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And so, as promised, I told you that we were going to go through the entire playoff field as they get ready to get underway at Darlington with the Southern 500. And that's exactly what we're going to do. I have prepared some vignettes, if you want to call them that, about each driver. You'll hear from each driver, and then I'll comment a little bit as we go along the way. 16 drivers make the Cup Series playoffs, and we get things started with number 16.
Kevin Harvick.
After a career best and season-leading 9 wins in 2020, Kevin Harvick finds himself in an unfamiliar position since joining Stewart Haas Racing. 2014 Cup Series champion has finished in the top 3 in the standings in 5 of the last 7 seasons since he took over the 4 car. But this year, he's yet to find victory lane and only has 6 top 5s to his credit. He'll start the playoffs 16th in points, but feels like the four group is in a good place.
I feel good about our team. You know, I think our team has done a great job with the circumstances that we've been presented with. And I think, you know, the last 4 or 5 weeks, our cars have run a lot better. We've still got some work to do and you know, with some things on the balance side of the car, you know, to start these races. But, you know, in the end, our team has done a great job. And those numbers can, you know, could have been a lot better if it weren't for three or four, you know, ill-timed accidents at the end of a few of the races. So it's, you know, it's obviously, you obviously want to win, but, you know, some years just don't go exactly how you want them to go. And I think those are the years that you got to dig down and do the things that our guys have done this year. So got to be in it to win it. And we given ourselves a chance and see where it all falls in the end.
You've been hearing me say on this show all year long that I thought Kevin Harvick was going to find victory lane. For whatever reason, this has been an off year for Stewart Haas Racing as a team. I mean, I know that you have two young drivers, and Chase Briscoe is a rookie, Cole Custer only in his second year. Briscoe was in a very good position to win at the Indianapolis Road Course a few weeks ago. They've had some ups and downs. Custer won last year in his rookie year at Kentucky, but I thought for sure that Harvick was going to be the one that would find victory lane, and he would be the one that would break through. It was Almirola at New Hampshire. I still think Harvick could have a win in him, that he's hanging around and just figures out a way to do it because they got some good tracks coming up. But it just hasn't been quite the year for Stewart Haas Racing like we've seen in the past. So I think he's a tough out. I don't think you should rule him out by any means, even though he's coming in to this thing as the 16th and final seed. You got to watch out for the 2014 champion. But Championship 4, which is something that he's pretty much made a habit of, I don't know if that's going to happen this year. We move on to number 15.
Tyler Reddick.
The second-year Richard Childress Racing driver makes his postseason debut after only two top fives and no wins, but his consistency paid off with 13 top tens on the 2021 campaign. The two-time Xfinity Series champion had some strong runs in the number eight and seems to be knocking on the door of his first win in NASCAR's Premier Series. Consistency has led to confidence, and Reddick believes they can make some noise in the postseason.
I would say at this moment, looking at how everything's seeded, if you will, you know, only 13 points as of right now separate myself to, I believe it's sixth. I hope I got that number right. So it's pretty tight. I mean, that again, that can change in one stage, in one race, in just one part of the, you know, these three race rounds in this playoff system. So there's going to be, we're obviously going to see new winners. We're going to see three winners this round of the playoffs and three winners in the round of 12. And that could certainly shake up, you know, those numbers and where we're at in comparison. But, you know, when you think about that 13 point gap right now over three races, I feel like we've been able to be consistent and gain a lot of points just over really a lot of the field over the course of summer. Yeah. You know, you look at these three last races for myself, not exactly the most consistent for sure. Michigan, you know, I flat out just made poor decisions. That it happens from time to time. And, you know, it's a nice little reality check, if you will, before the playoffs started of, okay, like, you know, this is why we need to really stay on the plan that we have. So yeah, I feel good about it still. I mean, it everyone's working really hard to set themselves up to really go out of the gates in the playoffs. So, you know, obviously everyone's going to be probably a little bit faster or different than they've been the last 2 months. So, you know, speeds out of some cars, out of some drivers may be different now. So I still feel good about it, but, you know, you never know until you're in it for sure.
I have been so impressed with Tyler Reddick since he got into the Cup Series. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought he would have found victory lane either last year or definitely this year. He's so close. He is very, very close to winning his first race in the Cup Series. He was so talented in the Xfinity Series. You saw him coming up through the ranks, even going back a ways to the truck series. I just think that he's got it. The problem is Richard Childress Racing is not the same Richard Childress Racing that Kevin Harvick used to run for, and of course Dale Earnhardt won 6 of his 7 championships with. They got to figure out what is going to take them to the next step and allow them to be able to compete with, you know, the other big teams in NASCAR. I know Chevy has got this alliance going, and you know, Hendrick and ECR and RCR, I should say, but ECR engines, you know, they're kind of working together. I think that's going to be beneficial, but that's what's going to have to happen for not only Reddick to find victory lane, but Austin Dillon to win on a more consistent basis, because I think Austin has the talent too. So we'll see what Reddick does in his first playoff. Again, I think finding the right situation, especially when you're in a place like him, maybe they're going to gamble a little bit more to try and win some of these races early on to advance into the next round. I mean, you only got 3 races to get to the round of 12. So we'll see how that works out. We move to number 14.
Eric Almirola.
Stewart Haas Racing driver Eric Almirola perhaps wanted to forget 2021 until he rolled into New Hampshire a few months ago. And even though SHR has had their struggles as a whole, Almirola provided their lone win of the 2021 season and punched his ticket into the playoffs. Now that he's here, he looks at it as a whole new season.
The last 26 races, no matter, you know, no longer matter. And now it's about putting the best 10 weeks together that you possibly can. And I related a lot to pro sports and football in general. You can be the wild card team that squeaks into the playoffs, and once the playoffs start, that's all that matters is the next week, winning the next week, and that's how the playoffs are for us. The last 26 races do not matter anymore, and all that really matters right now is Darlington, and after Darlington, all that will matter is Richmond, and so on and so forth. So, yeah, we certainly are having that mentality.
Eric Almirola was certainly one of the surprises of 2021 when he won that race at New Hampshire. I mean, they just were not able to put the finishes together. Had a lot of bad luck before that as well. But, you know, you can also go through and you can find some good races out here in Nashville. He did a really good job. So if they hit the right tracks, which there are a handful of those within the playoffs, who knows? They could be one of those surprises once again and actually make a run at it. But as I said with Kevin Harvick, you know, it's just been one of those years for Stewart Haas Racing. So we will see if the driver of the number 10 Smithfield Ford can help turn that around as they try and make a run for a championship in the playoffs. We move on to number 13.
McDowell.
In his 358th Cup Series start, Michael McDowell won his first race, and it just so happened to be the biggest one of them all, the Daytona 500. With the win brought more sponsorship money for the Front Row Motorsports team and also secured McDowell a spot in the playoffs. In addition to the win, he tied his career high in top fives with 2 and set a new career in top tens with 5. Even though some may say McDowell's stats don't match up with being in the playoffs, he uses that as motivation.
You know, kind of 2 things with that is, you know, this is the best season that I've ever had and the best that we've performed as a race team. And so statistically, you know, it might not look that great, but, you know, I think if you look back to this year of just our top finishes, you know, for me over my career have been this year at a lot of racetracks, you know, so I feel like we have the speed and the momentum to surprise some people in the playoffs, but we're also realistic of where we're at. I mean, I have to have 3 incredible races in order to advance in the next round. And I know that. We know that. We're not naive to it. We know where we're at as a race team and what we need to do. And so we got to hit home runs here the next 3 races. And if we don't, we won't advance. And so we all know that. And we're ready to see what happens.
This is the coolest story of the year because Michael McDowell is such an amazing guy. Wins the Daytona 500. It was a wild Daytona 500. He was able to survive several big ones to get his first win. But you love stories like that, and you root for guys like that. And you heard him say this has been the best year he's had in his career. It's been a really good year for his team as well. And just making the playoffs, let's see what happens. But just getting into the playoffs is huge for an organization like that. And I know there's some rumors about what their future looks like and could they be selling charters or things like that. But it appears that they're going to continue to be in business in some capacity in the Cup Series, and they're hoping that Michael McDowell can have a good playoff as it's already been a good year with that Daytona 500 win. Let's move on to number 12.
Christopher Bell.
The second-year driver out of Joe Gibbs Racing is a quick study. After finishing 20th in the points in his rookie campaign, he took over the 20 car at JGR and in race number two found victory lane for the first time at the Daytona Road Course. He backed that up with six top fives and 17 top tens en route to entering the playoffs 12th in the points. While he's still young, the 17-time winner in the Xfinity Series has a knack for winning and hopes to make a splash in this year's playoffs.
Yeah, so I guess the biggest thing would be, you know, coming from Adam Stevens, my crew chief, who's been fortunate enough to win this whole deal twice now. So he's been around the block a couple of times, and he's really smart about knowing where we are at in our own specific agenda and how many points that we need over the course of the history of the playoffs, how many points you need per event or per round to advance to the next round. So Well, it's going to be a change of pace for sure. So since we won our first race, the second race of the year, we've definitely been focused on trying to win more races and not on the stage points. And I think that that's really impacted our regular season points position. And now focusing into the playoffs, those stage points are going to be crucial for me and my team. So going after more wins in the regular season has now turned into points racing in the playoffs.
As we talk about this new era in which we're in when it comes to these young drivers, Christopher Bell is one that we've been talking about for several years. You think about his dominance in the Xfinity Series, winning a ton of races with Joe Gibbs Racing. He comes into the Cup Series last year for his rookie year with a satellite team with Joe Gibbs Racing. And he's so good and so talented that Joe Gibbs had no choice. He had to move Eric Jones out of the ride in the 20 car. And in comes Christopher Bell. He gets his first win in just the second race of the year at that Daytona Road Course. And his head is ups and downs for sure in his first year actually in Joe Gibbs Racing in the Cup Series. But I still think there's a ton of talent there, and you're going to see him win several more races before this is all said and done with his career. How he does this year in the playoffs, we'll see. I still think that it's a learning curve. Just being there for a guy like him, a young kid, in the Cup Series, I think is a good thing. But I think that they're going to take some things, maybe take some lumps, and see what happens just to build for future years. All right, here we go with number 11.
Kurt Busch.
The 2004 champion has won at least one race every year since 2014, in all but four seasons in his 22-year Cup career. In the final year of Chip Ganassi Racing, Busch is looking to play spoiler and is having more fun than he ever has. He will join 2311 Racing next year, but wants to go out on top with Ganassi after many great memories.
Vegas was a special win. We've had some great memories all the way through. And, you know, to win at Kentucky, the first time that the one car had been back to victory lane in so many years. Atlanta was one of those dominating cars with Gear Wrench, a sponsor that's been with Chip Ganassi Racing for, I believe, 6 years. It was great to deliver that moment for them. The drafting at the Super Speedways, there was a wreck at a short track where Chip was all over me. It's been neat to have all these different emotions with such a cool, legendary owner in NASCAR.
You've heard me say this before, but Kurt Busch is obviously a different Kurt Busch. I think everybody sees that. How he has grown from his younger days early in his career, even when he won the championship in 04, to now, it's like they're two totally different people. I love being around the guy. I love having him on the show. He's been on several times. He's always very honest and candid. I've told the story about he missed an interview. He called me on my cell and rescheduled himself, didn't go through a handler or anything like that. And I've always respected that. He's having fun, and he wants to go out and try and give Chip Ganassi a championship before Chip gets out of NASCAR. And they announced, of course, he's going to 2311 in the second car with the number 45. He's going to be teammates with Bubba Wallace, which I think is huge for Bubba to be able to lean on a guy like that, just like Ross Chastain has done this year at Chip Ganassi Racing. He's a smart guy, and I think he's got several wins left in him before he calls it a career. Kurt Busch could perhaps be one of the toughest outs in this playoff field. All right, we will get into the top 10 when we come back. Again, we are going through every playoff driver here on today's show as the playoffs get underway. It's a playoff preview show here on Chasing Checkers. It's all presented by Hillside Medical on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app. All right, we are back here on Chasing Checkers presented by Hillside Medical here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe here with you as we run through the playoffs, and we got to move fast. We got to get through 10 more drivers, so let's get it going.
Brad Keselowski.
After 34 wins in 12 years at Team Penske, BK will step out of the number 2 and into the number 6 at Roush Fenway Racing as an owner driver. But he's got some unfinished business to take care of first. Keselowski won the 2012 championship and finished second last year with Team Penske. After a win at Talladega earlier this year and 7 top fives, this is the time where Brad goes to another level. And last year can add extra motivation.
Yeah, I wouldn't say I really have either of those approaches. Kind of going in and just trying to make the most of the opportunity that we have with the speed and execution we have with our two team. And can't really think too much about last year. It's not particularly all that relevant to this year with, you know, different, you know, car rules and things of those nature. So, you know, I think my goal is just to make the most out of what we have.
I am very curious to see what Brad Keselowski does over the next 10 races. I feel like there could be a win there. I think there is a ton of respect that he has for Roger Penske. And the only reason that he's leaving Team Penske is because he wanted a shot in ownership and Roger couldn't give it to him and Jack could. I think he's going to go to Roush Fenway and make that a much better program. They're going to have growing pains, but I also think he wants to leave with a true legitimate championship run, at least take a shot at it before he gets out of there. So I think they are going to be tough for sure. Let's move on to his teammate.
Joey Logano.
Despite being fourth with laps led this year with 409, Logano only has one win, and it came on the dirt at Bristol earlier this season. But 8 top fives and 13 top tens have him in a good spot heading into the playoffs. Going into the 2018 playoffs, Logano only had one win and found victory lane twice in the postseason, including the season finale at Homestead, which led him to his first title. He's a veteran in the playoffs and knows it's all about getting every point possible.
Understanding that every point is going to matter, every detail is going to matter. That those things as you go through each race, 10 weeks is a long time. It's a long playoffs if you think about it. You're going to have to go through some serious adversity at some point. You're going to have to overcome something. And that just, it's part of it. I guess if you're ready for it and you have that mindset that that's going to happen, and you can overcome that, those are probably the biggest things to have on your side.
As I said in the vignette, Joey Logano has shown that he's one of those guys, get him in the playoffs, and then let's see what happens. And I think that that could certainly be the case here. Now, with that said, outside of Ryan Blaney, who has been on fire as of late, I think Team Penske as a whole has been a tick off. Again, Joey Logano's only got the one win, and it was on the dirt at Bristol. You would expect more out of him. We'll see if he does like he did when he won the championship and picks off a few wins here in the playoffs. But he's always, again, you've heard me use this phrase, he's a tough out. That is for sure. But we will see what happens with Joey Logano as he tries to move forward in these playoffs. Speaking of moving forward, let's go to number 8.
William Byron.
He won earlier in the season at Homestead and added 9 top fives and 16 top tens on the 2021 campaign. Byron has led 276 laps in what has been a career year for the 23-year-old driver from Hendrick Motorsports. As the playoffs begin, Byron will keep riding the motivation he's had all season as he looks for his first title.
Yeah, I mean, I've been motivated all season. I feel like we've put ourselves in good positions, and you know, we've prepared really hard for every weekend, every race. So really proud of, you know, how we've done that all year. I don't think anything changes in that aspect going into the playoffs, but just make sure we, you know, cover all the boxes and make sure that we're doing all the things that we need to do to get as prepared as possible.
You heard the conversation we had with William Byron earlier today when he joined Darren Donick and Chase earlier this week. I should say he is learning. He's getting better every year. I still think the couple of years that he had with Chad Knaus was huge for him because you got young driver, veteran crew chief, 7-time championship winning crew chief and Chad Knaus. And now Chad is working in a competition role at Hendrick Motorsports, which is also beneficial for a young driver like William Byron. It's paying off, and you're going to see him just get better and better as he gets more and more experience. Speaking of experience, there's a ton with number 7.
Denny Hamlin.
Like Kevin Harvick, Denny Hamlin has gone winless this season, but he was just a few points shy of winning the regular season championship. After a 7-win 2020, he has relied on consistent finishes to make a run at his first title. 13 top fives, 17 top tens, along with 821 laps led, complete the stat line for the Joe Gibbs Racing driver.
Yeah, I mean, certainly, I think that really the last 12 to 13 races, they've been on top of their game, and Kyle's been on top of his game, and he's really evolved as a driver and gotten better at all different types of racetracks. They got super fast race cars. It doesn't matter whether it's road course or the 550. But I believe we're slowly creeping in on that. And I believe that that we're a team that is just as dangerous on all different types of racetracks. So ultimately, yeah, we will need to beat them in the end. I wish that we could race these last 10 races out like the regular season has been going, where it's been so tight back and forth these last 6 or 7 weeks. But you know, it's a reset now, and it's a 3-race season. So, you know, you're not really racing him until the final race, if he makes it and I make it. You're racing that cut line.
Perhaps the biggest shock of the year has been the fact that we're starting the playoffs and Denny Hamlin hasn't won a race. He's been that good, though, that consistent, running up front, finishing the races, being in contention to win. He just hasn't broken through and won. And you know, there was a time where I was saying on this show that I thought it was getting to him. I thought it was bothering him a little bit that he hadn't done that. And it probably is because he's a competitor, but he's doing a good job of not showing it now. He's able to balance being an owner and being a driver, and now he's ready to go compete for a championship. And it wouldn't shock me at all if this is the time where flips that switch, and it could start this weekend at Darlington, and you see the 11 in victory lane. Let's move on to number 6.
Alex Bowman.
Bowman had big shoes to fill after he took over the 88 from Dale Earnhardt Jr. in 2018, but he had even bigger shoes to fill this year, moving over to the 48 after 7-time champion Jimmy Johnson retired. It's been no problem for Bowman, as he's added 3 wins to his ledger, along with 6 top fives and 13 top tens for Team Hendrick. The 28-year-old finds himself having the best season of his career, but knows he has to be at his best every week to be able to add a championship to his resume.
You know, I think you need to be maximizing each and every week throughout the entirety of the playoffs. I don't think you can, like, turn it up towards the end of the playoffs. You know, you need to be strong each and every week. So while we didn't have the summer that we wanted, I think we can have a great playoff run. We had a miserable summer last year and had a really good playoff run. So I'm excited to get going. But yeah, I think you need to operate 100% each and every week.
Alex Bowman's been a guest not only on this show, but on Darren Donick and Chase several times. And, you know, as I said in the piece, it's a hard ask to replace Dale Jr. It's an even harder ask to replace Jimmy Johnson. He's now done it twice, replacing two of the most iconic drivers in the sport, and he's done a heck of a job. He won in the 88. Now he's flipped it to another level, and he's won in the 48, not once, not twice, but thrice this year. And he's looked good at other times. There's been some times where they've fallen off, and you haven't really heard much about the 48 when you've been talking about the 5, talking about the 9 at Hendrick Motorsports. But with some of the tracks that are coming up, you know, Kansas is in there. I think Bowman's got a good shot to potentially win one of these playoff races in this thing. So going to be interesting to watch. Let's move to number 5.
Chase Elliott.
2020 saw Chase Elliott find victory lane 5 times and win his first championship at just 24 years old. This season, he's added 2 wins, 11 top 5s, and 16 top 10s to his resume, but won 3 of the last 5 last season en route to the title. Even with all of that experience, he says he feels the same now as he did before.
To be real honest with you, I don't really feel any different than I did going in last year. I mean, it's nice to have seen some of those circumstances and to have gone through some of those things that you're faced with mentally, and just some of those challenges as you step through that last round and get to Phoenix. But to me, the message is really no different than it was last year. And to me, it's just about enjoying those big moments. And if you don't enjoy them, you're never going to thrive in them. You know, a big moment typically means it means something to you. And it typically means there's opportunity for something big at the end of it. So you have to like it. I mean, that's to me the biggest piece of the whole puzzle. And I don't think that message will ever change, whether you have 0 championships or you have 15. I mean, I feel like that's the single most important piece of how this playoff format works. And, you know, it promotes winning and winning in big situations.
If you're a Chase Elliott fan, you should be happy, because you know what's about to happen. You know that he's one of those guys that he goes in with that cool demeanor. And you also know what happened last year, that he won 3 races in the playoffs en route to his first championship. I think Chase Elliott is sitting in a very, very good spot to challenge all the other drivers in the playoff, but especially his teammate Kyle Larson at Hendrick Motorsports, who is the odds-on favorite to win the championship. But Elliott knows how to get around a lot of these tracks. Obviously, the Roval is very good to him, coming in a good spot. Darlington, I mean, hey, he's been wanting to get that Southern 500 win for sure, get that under his belt. Another tough out for sure in these playoffs. Let's move on to number 4.
Kyle Busch.
After winning 5 races and his second championship in 2019, 2020 did not go the way of Kyle Busch, even though he finished 8th in the standings. This season, Rowdy showed some of his old form with 2 wins, 11 top 5s, and 16 top 10s going into the playoffs. Consistency will be key for the experienced Busch as he looks to join the 3-time club this season.
I'd say one of the biggest ones is don't beat yourself. You know, speeding penalties, obviously, leaving lug nuts off, just dumb stuff, you know, don't beat yourself. Those are definitely things to kind of live by. You know, not really trying to put yourself in a bad spot. Look, I mean, every spot is important, especially if you're trying to point your way through the rounds, if you don't have chances of winning, if you're coming down, you know, and you're running 5th, but yet, you know, 4th and 3rd are right there in front of you at, say, Bristol, you know, wanting to pass those guys and get by those guys, but not creating enemies in the way of going about that, and setting yourself up for, you know, a future hard time at the next race with that guy. So you're just trying to do what you can to be as clean as you can. And you know, we all want the playoff points. We want stage victories, race victories, all that stuff to accumulate and get our total higher. So we have an easier time starting the next round.
Now, last year was, I know, tough for him because it took till the end of the season to win a race when usually he's winning multiple races. He's only won two this year, but I think Kyle Busch being in the spot that he's in fourth place going into the playoffs is dangerous for a lot of drivers because he's Kyle Busch. He still knows how to win. He's a two-time champion, so he knows how to navigate these waters, as you just heard him say. And I look for him to cause a lot of trouble in these playoffs. And you've heard me say it before. I like personality. He was great when he came on the show earlier this year. Fantastic interview. Again, go back and listen. But he's still Kyle Busch. He's rowdy, and he doesn't like to lose. I think you're going to see him try and do his Kyle Busch thing in these playoffs. But his teammate, he's had a good year too. He's in third spot.
Martin Truex Jr.
After winning three of the first 12 races, things cooled off for the driver of the number 19 JGR car. He's only had three top fives since winning at Darlington in May. His eight top fives, 13 top tens, and only one DNF have kept him in a good spot entering the playoffs with a mix of tracks he does well at. And he hopes to build momentum on his way to another title.
You know, I think as soon as the playoffs start, you understand the intensity is going to rise. And I feel like throughout each race, one through three of each round it rises because you start to have guys that are feeling desperate. As you go, there's more guys, behind, and they're feeling desperate. And you feel that. You see certain guys kind of step it up and, take more risks and things like that. It's no different than a race. You know, as the race goes on, each restart towards the end seems to get more intense. And it's the same way throughout the playoffs. So the further you get, the more it's on the line. You know, the less people have opportunities. They get more important as you go, and so the intensity just continues to pick up and ramp up.
I touched on Martin Truex Jr. a little bit earlier in the show, but he's the one that, even though he's in the top three right now and he has three wins on the year, that is curious. You know, I said I'm curious to see what happens with Brad Keselowski. I'm curious to see what's going to happen with Martin Truex Jr. as they have just not been very consistent since the last time they were at Darlington. So if they win Sunday, advance to the next round, then it's a whole new ball game. But it's a big if with a lot of the other competition. So curious on Martin Truex Jr. as he goes into these playoffs. Let's move to the next one, which is probably the hottest driver on the track right now.
Ryan Blaney.
Momentum is everything, and Blaney has a ton of it going into the playoffs. Having won the final two races before the postseason, he's totaled three wins, eight top fives, and 15 top tens in 2021, which vaulted him to the second seed going into the playoffs. He's looking to ride this wave into the postseason.
That's great. Momentum and confidence are something that we have right now, in the 12 group, because obviously the past couple weekends, it really helps get that rolling. So it's good for everybody, not only for the driver, but for the team as well, when they have a lot of confidence in themselves and their abilities, and you can believe that you can do it and make a strong run at the championship. That's part of the game. You got to believe you can do it. And this team does believe in themselves, and they have every right to. They're a great group of guys. It's been a pleasure to work with them. It's just nice to end the regular season strong and have a good year. Three wins on the year, and you hope to keep that going throughout the playoffs, and keep transferring, and try to make it to Phoenix and just have a shot at a championship. So it has been a fun year, and it has been nice to end the regular season out this way and start off Darlington here this weekend with a bunch of momentum and our heads held high, and just got to keep doing what we've been doing.
You take two wins, you go into the playoffs. I think that's a good thing for Ryan Blaney, and he's such a talented driver. He's getting better every year, and working with Todd Gordon when they made the crew chief swap over at Penske, I think putting him with Todd Gordon, who won a championship with Logano, won the Daytona 500 with Logano, that was a solid move by Team Penske, and it has paid off. And now that Gordon's going to retire, they're going to try and go out on top with a championship. And even though Larson is still the odds-on favorite to win it, I think Blaney, if you're placing bets, and you know I like to do that, Blaney is definitely somebody you should take a look at. Speaking of Kyle Larson, let's hear about him.
Kyle Larson.
After only running four races in 2020, Kyle Larson returned to NASCAR racing and joined Hendrick Motorsports, and he did it in style. Leading over 1,500 laps and winning five races, Larson looks to be the man to beat in the playoffs. He's added 14 top fives and 18 top tens to his stat sheet, and he finds himself in a great position going into the postseason. But he still has that same chill attitude as he's always had.
Yeah, I don't know. It's you're in a fast race car and you're doing a good job, so it's good. I mean, it's not like everybody's gunning for you and you have a target on your back or anything like that. So it's just a cool spot to be in, and it's been a lot of hard work to get to this point, and now we've got a great opportunity to go chase a championship. So we've been doing a great job doing what we've been doing, and we just got to continue that and execute well, and hopefully it all kind of take care of itself.
It's well documented about last year, and then it's even more well documented about what he has done this year. And here's what is the most impressive thing, and he's asked about it just about every week. Not only has he won five races in the Cup Series with a potential, potentially could have won even more, he's probably going to win even more when it comes to the playoffs and is the betting favorite to win the championship. He's done all that while running his dirt program, and he's won, I think he said, 24 races throughout the year in that. The guy is always in a race car, yet he is still performing at a high level, and he's, like I said, going to be the guy to beat in this championship in these playoffs. I cannot wait for it to get started Sunday night at Darlington, the Southern 500. That's going to do it for the show. Hope you enjoyed the preview. We'll tweet out Sunday money and all of those things and some race picks, but that's going to do it for us. We will be back next Saturday at 9 to break down Darlington and keep the playoff train moving. If you miss anything, ChasingCheckersRadio.com, TheGameNashville.com, search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Chase McCabe for ESPN 102.5 The Game, The Game Nashville app.